The Final Argument. Wolves of the Calla is the fifth volume of a longer tale inspired by Robert Browning's narrative poem, Child Roland to the Dark Tower Came. The sixth, Song of Susanna, will be published in 2004. The seventh and last, The Dark Tower, will be published later that same year. The first volume, The Gunslinger, tells how Roland de Shane of Gilead pursues and at last catches Walter, the man in black, he who pretended friendship with Roland's father, but actually served the Crimson King in far-off Endworld. Catching the half-human Walter is for Roland a step on the way to the Dark Tower, where he hopes the quickening destruction of Midworld and the slow death of the beams may be halted or even reversed. The subtitle of this novel is Resumption. The Dark Tower is Roland's obsession, his grail, his only reason for living when we meet him. We learn of how Martin tried, when Roland was yet a boy, to see him sent west in disgrace, swept from the board of the great game. Roland, however, lays Martin's plans at nines, mostly due to his choice of weapon in his manhood test. Stephen de Shane, Roland's father, sends his son and two friends, Cuthbert Allgood and Alain Johns, to the seacoast barony of Magus, mostly to place the boy beyond Walter's reach. There, Roland meets and falls in love with Susan Delgado, who has fallen afoul of a witch. Rhea of the Coos is jealous of the girl's beauty and particularly dangerous because she has obtained one of the great glass balls known as the Bends of the Rainbow, or the Wizard's Glasses. There are 13 of these in all, the most powerful and dangerous being Black 13. Roland and his friends have many adventures in Magus, and although they escape with their lives and the pink Bend of the Rainbow, Susan Delgado, the lovely girl at the window, is burned at the stake. This tale is told in the fourth volume, Wizard and Glass. The subtitle of this novel is Regard. In the course of the Tales of the Tower, we discover that the Gunslinger's world is related to our own in fundamental and terrible ways. The first of these links is revealed when Jake, a boy from the New York of 1977, meets Roland at a desert way station long years after the death of Susan Delgado. There are doors between Roland's world and our own, and one of them is death. Jake finds himself in this desert way station after being pushed into 43rd Street and run over by a car. The car's driver was a man named Enrico Balazar. The pusher was a criminal sociopath named Jack Mort, Walter's representative on the New York level of the Dark Tower. Before Jake and Roland reach Walter, Jake dies again, this time because the gunslinger, faced with an agonizing choice between this symbolic sun and the Dark Tower, chooses the tower. Jake's last words before plunging into the abyss are, "Go then, there are other worlds than these." The final confrontation between Roland and Walter occurs near the Western Sea. In a long night of palaver, the man in black tells Roland's future with a tarot deck of strange device. Three cards: the prisoner, the Lady of Shadows, and death. "But not for you, gunslinger," are especially called to Roland's attention. The drawing of the three, subtitled Renewal, begins on the shore of the Western Sea not long after Roland awakens from his confrontation with Walter. The exhausted gunslinger is attacked by a horde of carnivorous lobstrosities, and before he can escape, he has lost two fingers of his right hand and has been seriously infected. Roland resumes his trek along the shore of the Western Sea, although he is sick and possibly dying. On his walk, he encounters three doors standing freely on the beach. These open into New York at three different winds. From 1987, Roland draws Eddie Dean, a prisoner of heroin. From 1964, he draws Odetta Susanna Holmes, a woman who lost her legs when a sociopath named Jack Mort pushed her in front of a subway train. She is the Lady of Shadows, with a violent other hidden in her brain. This hidden woman, the violent and crafty Detta Walker, is determined to kill both Roland and Eddie when the gunslinger draws her into Midworld. Roland thinks that perhaps he has drawn three in just Eddie and Odetta, since Odetta is really two personalities. Yet when Odetta and Detta merge as one into Susanna, largely thanks to Eddie Dean's love and courage, the gunslinger knows it's not so. He knows something else as well. He is being tormented by thoughts of Jake, the boy who spoke of other worlds at the time of his death. The Wastelands, subtitled Redemption, begins with a paradox. To Roland, Jake seems both alive and dead. In the New York of the late 1970s, Jake Chambers is haunted by the same question, alive or dead, which is he? After killing a gigantic bear named either Mir, so called by the old people who went in fear of it, or Shardik, by the great old ones who built it, Roland, Eddie, and Susanna backtrack the beast and discover the path of the beam known as Shardik to Maturin, bear to turtle. There were once six of these beams running between the 12 portals which mark the edges of Midworld. At the point where the beams cross, at the center of Roland's world and all worlds, stands the Dark Tower, the nexus of all where and when. By now, Eddie and Susanna are no longer prisoners in Roland's world. In love and well on the way to becoming gunslingers themselves, they are full participants in the quest and follow Roland, the last Sepi-Sai, Deathseller, along the path of Shardik, the way of Maturin. In a speaking ring, not far from the portal of the bear, time is mended, paradox is ended, and the real third is drawn. Jake re-enters Midworld at the end of a perilous rite where all four, Jake, Eddie, Susanna, and Roland, remember the faces of their fathers and acquit themselves honorably. Not long after, the quartet becomes a quintet when Jake befriends a billy bumbler. Bumblers, which look like a combination of badger, raccoon, and dog, have a limited speaking ability. Jake names his new friend Oi. The way of the pilgrims leads them toward the city of Ludd, where the degenerate survivors of two old factions carry on an endless conflict. Before reaching the city, in the little town of River Crossing, they meet a few ancient survivors of the old days. They recognize Roland as a fellow survivor of those days before the world moved on, and honor him and his companions. The old people also tell them of a monorail train which may still run from Ludd and into the wastelands, along the path of the beam and toward the Dark Tower. Jake is frightened by this news, but not surprised. Before being drawn from New York, he obtained two books from a bookstore owned by a man with the thought-provoking name of Calvin Tower. One is a book of riddles with the answers torn out. The other, Charlie the Choo-Choo, is a children's story with dark echoes of Midworld. For one thing, the word char means death, in the high speech Roland grew up speaking in Gilead. Aunt Talitha, the matriarch of River Crossing, gives Roland a silver cross to wear, and the travelers go their course. While crossing the dilapidated bridge which spans the River Send, Jake is abducted by a dying and very dangerous outlaw named Gasher. Gasher takes his young prisoner underground to the Tick-Tock Man, the last leader of the faction known as the Greys. While Roland and Oi go after Jake, Eddie and Susanna find the Cradle of Ludd where Blaine the Mono awakes. Blaine is the last above-ground tool of a vast computer system that lies beneath Ludd, and Blaine has only one remaining interest, riddles. It promises to take the travelers to the monorail's final stop if they can pose it a riddle it cannot solve. Otherwise, Blaine says, their trip will end in death. Charyu Tree. Roland rescues Jake, leaving the Tick-Tock Man for dead. Yet Andrew Quick is not dead. Half-blind, hideously wounded about the face, he is rescued by a man who calls himself Richard Fannin. Fannin, however, also identifies himself as the ageless stranger, a demon of whom Roland has been warned. The pilgrims continue their journey from the dying city of Lud, this time by monorail. The fact that the actual mind running the mono exists in computers, falling farther and farther behind them, will make no difference one way or the other when the pink bullet jumps the decaying tracks somewhere along the path of the beam at a speed in excess of 800 miles an hour. Their one chance of survival is to pose Blaine a riddle which the computer cannot answer. At the beginning of Wizard and Glass, Eddie does indeed pose such a riddle, destroying Blaine with a uniquely human weapon, illogic. The mono comes to a stop in a version of Topeka, Kansas, which has been emptied by a disease called superflu. As they recommence their journey along the path of the beam, now on an apocalyptic version of Interstate 70, they see disturbing signs. "All hail the Crimson King," advises one. "Watch for the walkin' dude," advises another. And, as alert listeners will know, the walkin' dude has a name very similar to Richard Fannin. After telling his friends the story of Susan Delgado, Roland and his friends come to a palace of green glass which has been constructed across I-70, a palace that bears a strong resemblance to the one Dorothy Gale sought in The Wizard of Oz. In the throne room of this great castle, they encounter not Oz the Great and Terrible, but the Tick-Tock Man, the great city of Lud's final refugee. With Tick-Tock dead, the real wizard steps forward. It's Roland's ancient nemesis, Martin Broadcloak, known in some worlds as Randall Flagg, in others as Richard Fannin, in others as John Farson, the good man. Roland and his friends are unable to kill this apparition, who warns them one final time to give up their quest for the tower. "Only misfires against me, Roland, old fellow," he tells the gunslinger. But they are able to banish him. After a final trip into the wizard's glass and a final dreadful revelation that Roland of Gilead killed his own mother, mistaking her for the witch named Rhea, the wanderers find themselves once more in Midworld and once more on the path of the beam. They take up their quest again, and it is here that we will find them in Wolves of the Kala. This argument in no way summarizes the first four books of the Tower Cycle. If you have not listened to those books before commencing this one, I urge you to do so or to put this one aside. These books are but parts of a single long tale, and you would do better to listen to them from beginning to end rather than starting in the middle. Mister, We Deal in Lead. Steve McQueen in The Magnificent Seven. First come smiles, then lies. Last is gunfire. Roland Deschain of Gilead. The blood that flows through you flows through me. When I look in any mirror, it's your face that I see. Take my hand, lean on me. We're almost free, wandering boy. Rodney Crowell.